This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. There are a lot of ways to tell history, all of which share a common flaw. They're way too long. Which brings us to the reduced Shakespeare Company, The Complete History of America, Abridged. We'll start with that dramatic moment when Britain rushed forces across the Atlantic to help its beleaguered colonies.
Hear ye, hear ye. We interrupt Talk of the Nation to bring you the French and Indian War. French and British at war again, this time in North America. In sports, the Patriots trounce the Redskins.
Oh, yay, oh, yay. British and colonists defeat French and Indians. King George celebrates victory by imposing taxes on tea, stamps, sugar, and anything else he can think of. Colonists are up in arms.
Hey, did you hear?
What?
King George has raised taxes and the people are arming themselves.
No way.
Way!
Hey, did you hear?
What?
The king has doubled our taxes and we're putting together a people's army to fight him right now. We're off to throw tea in the harbor.
Uh-oh, trouble's brewing.
Oh, yay, oh, yay. Big tea party in Boston. Dump tea in the harbor to protest taxes. Alice in Wonderland and Mad Hatter are slated to attend.
Rutabaga. British soldier kills Christmas addicts and African American in the Boston Massacre. Four others dead. The colonists are in revolt.
Hey, did you hear?
What?
The colonists are revolting.
I know. Did you ever eat with one of them?
Oh, yay, oh, yay. British attack at Lexington and Concord. Revolution underway. Paul Revere and the Raiders, number one on the charts with the British are coming.
Listen, my children, and you shall hear of the midnight ride of Paul Revere. He said with a grin while wiping his chin, if my ear was a
bang.
I hear a shot.
I hear a shot, monsieur.
I hear a shot, senor.
I hear a shot, grasshopper.
I hear a shot, comrade.
I hear hey and ache, orkip hey.
It was the shot heard round the world.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one-third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you are listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 302, Special Election Edition.
And so the new world was called America, and we, the people of that land, were named Americans. But what does it mean to be an American? Reed.
Thank you, Austin.
You're welcome.
Let's take a moment to look at this word American, shall we? It's just eight simple letters, but over the years, this word has come to stand for liberty, equality, prosperity, and the sort of gosh darn persnicketiness that has made the U.S. what it is today. Not many people know this, but if you rearrange these eight letters just a little bit, they spell out... Yeah, that's right. I can ream. Now, if you rearrange the letters in the name of our very first president, George Washington, you get... That's right. Gaggin' on Wet Horse, which was actually the title of a popular song at the time of the Revolution. And if you rearrange the letters in the name... Spiro Agnew, Richard Nixon's first vice president, you get... Say it with me now. Grow a penis. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what it means to be an American. I thank you.
That's an excerpt from the DVD of our show, The Complete History of America Abridged, which we filmed in August 2005. But since 2008, we've been performing the special election edition of the show every couple of years, which always incorporates up-to-date references to the current election cycle and an on-stage debate between the two presidential candidates, who also take questions from the audience and then have to improvise their answers. Now, unfortunately, I don't have any audio of that, but when we appeared on National Public Radio's Talk of the Nation on July 4th, 2006, we took questions from both host Neil Conan and callers from all around the country.
By one estimate, this show covers 600 years of history in 6,000 seconds. How do you decide to put in and what to take out?
Well, we cut out all the unimportant minor historical characters and get right to the sex and the killing, which is what people like. We've written a big, long scene about the Gadsden Purchase and then realized nobody except us kind of knew what
ever
it was.
Ever heard of the Gadsden Purchase.
So we had to cut that.
And a big musical number about Millard Fillmore, which just went south in a hurry, as did Millard Fillmore. So.
Just in the fall.
Yeah. That's right. So we hit the highlights, you know. Yeah. Washington, Lincoln, you know, Cold War.
Yeah.
And hot war.
Yeah, and Lucy Ricardo.
Well, yes, one of the great
That's
figures
one
of
the
American
lowlights.
History. Yeah. Yes.
That's right. We go from the Cold War to the War on Terror. There's always some war going on, and we cover it.
Yeah, I mean, it isn't just from, like, when the Vikings or Amerigo Vespucci or Columbus discovered America. We go almost from the creation of the galaxy, the Big Bang.
Mm-hmm.
past the Clinton administration. So it's sort of big bang to big bang.
Well, I have to ask you about that part. I mean, this show first debuted in 1993, as I understand it.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, you've got squadrons of writers updating you every day.
Literally squadrons. Literally. Well, they keep writing American history, so we have to keep reducing it. And it's an ongoing job, for sure.
Yeah. So there's several new scenes from when the show premiered.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And some things that are gone, long gone.
Really?
Cato Kaelin, he will be missed.
Oh, no.
Yes. No, he's gone. He's lost in the dustbins of history, as he should.
I did a pretty mean John Kerry, I have to say.
Mean John Kerry, that might have worked.
Oh, right.
That's the John Kerry
not
that the
flip-flopping
nation
needed
to
John see. Be angry.
And did John Kerry never got to answer the question, boxers or briefs?
Commando.
Yeah, obviously.
Well, let's see if we can get some listeners in on this conversation. Craig, are you on the phone?
Yep.
Hi, what's your question?
The term, the American way, when was it coined? What does it actually mean?
Well, it's when there was only one road in this country. Yes. It was called the American Way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because it led through the Americas.
I thought on the side of the road there was all sorts of plants, flora and fauna, all the way.
All the way.
The Kurds and the American Way.
Yes.
From the old nursery
Little Miss
rhyme.
Muffet.
Yeah.
Yes, and her American Kurds and Way.
And her American Kurds and Way.
Yeah.
There you have it, Craig.
Wow, thank you so much.
And I hope the test is tomorrow.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Let's go now to David, and David's calling us from, what is this, Lenore? Is that right, in North Carolina?
Lenore,
as in the Edgar Allan Poe poem. Go ahead.
Yeah, George Washington, didn't he have, many affairs? Wasn't he, known for a man who had many women, slave women, and... I want to get your take on that.
No, American presidents only sleep with their wives. I think that's
that's been true with every single American president.
Was Thomas Jefferson married to what's her name? Anyway, go ahead.
It's a whole thing.
Moving right along.
It's a whole thing. Well, no, I think that's a proud American tradition, American presidential tradition of sleeping with your slaves.
Well, we travel around the country, and it looks like George Washington slept everywhere, so it's probably true.
It's probably true.
The word on Washington is that he was caught falling out of some bedroom windows as old as 65 or so. So he was a player.
Wow. He was a player. He
a
was
player.
Washington got busy.
he wasn't just a president who got busy. He got busy.
Yeah. I think he got busy with Betsy Ross, too, because that's a whole mythology surrounding
her. So apparently it's true. He was the father of most of
our
country.
And then she could sell him some pants.
Betsy Ross went down in history in a completely different way than
some
we think.
Some monogrammed underwear, maybe.
Which, thank you very much for the call, David. But that leaves me to ask the question, when you get on people like G-Dub, for example,
right.
How do you decide? History's a very sensitive topic. I mean, being seriously, people will take offense at various things. Who do you decide? You're almost deciding who to offend and who not to.
We try to be equal opportunity offenders. Who's ever the current president, we blasted Clinton when he was in office, and now W gets a few shots, and
Yeah, people say you shouldn't be making fun of the president. We say, look, we'd much rather be making fun of Kerry, but that's not the way it worked out.
Yeah, if Kerry won, we'd be swinging away
at him, too. I mean, it's guaranteed that somebody's going to be offended by something, and so we just try to really make it funny.
We're still
trying.
We do an Abraham Lincoln assassination ballet, and occasionally we get people come up to us and says, you just can't joke about that.
It's too soon.
It's too soon.
Too soon.
And... okay, but what is the statute of limitations on that? I don't know. Yeah.
We're still finding it.
Tragedy plus time equals comedy.
Maybe next time you can actually play Ford's Theater and see how it goes over there.
I would love to. How eerie would that be?
Now, let's get another caller on. This is Charles. Charles calling from Mankato in Minnesota.
Well, good afternoon, good morning, depending on where you are. You had made a comment earlier that boring period between the end of the Civil War and World War One, John Wayne, cowboys and Indians... who can forget the Spanish-American War and North Dakota statehood?
Well, we can cover that real quickly because it wasn't a very funny time in American history. Yeah. Here it is. There was labor unrest.
Not funny.
There was land grabbing on an unprecedented scale.
That's not funny.
There were seven-year-olds working themselves to death in sweatshops.
That's kind of funny.
Yeah, I think you got it.
Nathan's calling us from Overland Park in Kansas.
Yes, I've seen you guys perform, and it's wonderful. But I was wondering, do you have anything good to say about Kansas history?
Kansas. Do you mean all the bloody revolts and the frontier madness that was going on out there?
Or Bob Dole or anything like that.
Bob Dole and the hurricanes, the twisters. Kansas is a great pathway to Oz.
I just saw a documentary. Wizard of Oz was on last night. I saw a documentary about the history of Kansas. It was fascinating.
Because it's a documentary because it's in black and white for part of it.
I know.
Yeah.
And there's flying monkeys.
And then parts of it are recreation. I think it goes color later. Yeah,
yeah, that's just that, some of that revisionism that the lieutenant, what's his name, was talking about.
Isn't Kansas at the heart of every conspiracy theory in America?
Sure it is. Are you kidding? John Wilkes Booth shot Lincoln in a theater and ran to a warehouse. Lee Harvey Oswald shot Kennedy from a warehouse and ran to a theater.
Lincoln had a secretary named Kennedy. Kennedy had a secretary named Lincoln.
3 weeks before he died, Abraham Lincoln was in Monroe, Maryland.
And consider this dismaying observation. Ronald Wilson Reagan. How many letters in each name?
666. Reagan believed in the rapture and was the first president elected in a 0 year not to die in office since William Henry Harrison died in 1841.
Not so surprising, Mr. and Mrs. Bury My Head in the Sand, when you consider the role of the Trilateral Commission, the NSC, and the IMF.
Did you know there's a top-secret Air Force hangar in Nevada housing an alien spacecraft?
We could be killed for divulging that information.
And where exactly was David Duchovny on the day that Malcolm X was assassinated?
Did you know that they faked the moon landing on a Hollywood soundstage?
Did you know that William Shatner wears a hairpiece?
Did you know that there's a cult of dyslexic devil worshippers in the Ozarks who've sold their souls to Santa?
Did you know that?
Hi, this is Mayor Cory Booker of the great city of Newark, New Jersey. Not Newark, Delaware. Not Newark, California. Newark, New Jersey. And you are listening to the Reduced Shakespeare's Company podcast, dagnabbit.
Where can you RSC the RSE? This fall of 2012, we're taking the special election edition of The Complete History of America Abridged to Valhalla, Hamilton, and Ithaca, New York, Cranston, Rhode Island, Morristown, New Jersey, Chico and Saratoga, California, and Hilton Head, South Carolina. And then we'll take the ultimate Christmas show abridged to Reston, Virginia, Charlotte, North Carolina, Fort Worth, Texas, St. Louis, Missouri, Anchorage, Alaska. And for 3 weeks, we'll be at the San Diego Repertory Theater in San Diego, California. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates, to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter, go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office venue and ticket information. And now back to our 2006 appearance on Talk of the Nation on National Public Radio with host Neil Conan, who had just dipped into the NPR mailbag.
And here's an email, this from Ginny. What was, is Manifest Destiny?
Ah, Manifest Destiny, it was the patriotic feeling that we were destined, Americans were destined to push our way westward towards the Pacific Ocean to own and dominate this continent.
Actually might get a good grade on a test with that answer.
Mm-hmm. Well, wait, that's right? Yeah. I'm right?
Yeah, Beyonce was part of it.
Yeah.
Manifest Destiny's Child.
Yes, yes, that's right. Yeah. Yes. Uh-oh, Neil, somebody resuscitate Neil.
I think I flunked.
To Todd on the line. Todd's calling us from Greensboro, North Carolina.
My question. I was wondering if the guys had anything they could tell me about Michael Dukakis and the Massachusetts Miracle, the 88 presidential campaign in general.
All of it's over and dead. The miracle's over. Dukakis is over.
Let's see. The tank photo op was a big mistake.
Big mistake.
Dukakis just sounds kind of off as a name.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But if you and if
works
you
works better with Olympia though, doesn't it?
Yes, Olympia.
Yeah, that's it's award winning that way.
Yeah, that's good.
So Olympia Dukakis should have run for president. Yeah.
Yeah, what would be a Massachusetts miracle if somebody from there could actually win the presidency.
That would be a miracle. Yeah.
She would have known how to stand in that tank. I guarantee you
that. Absolutely.
He had some sweet eyebrows, though.
She would have been able to see over the top.
Todd, there you have it, the history of the 1988 presidential election.
Well, thank you.
All right. Thanks very much for the phone call. And let's go now to Hope. And Hope is calling us from Raleigh in North Carolina.
Hi. I was wondering if any young girls have ever made history.
Have any young girls made history?
Yes. Helen Keller was young.
Mm-hmm.
Young
and she made history. Helen
we were just
Keller.
Talking about actresses. That's some right. very young
Shirley
female.
Temple made history.
Shirley Temple won an actress.
Nellie Bly, the original fighting journalist.
Was she a young girl?
Well, she was young-ish. She was 20s. She was in her 20s.
Mm-hmm.
So she was...
There was also the... young actress from New Zealand who won an Oscar.
Anna Paquin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anna Paquin, who's also been in other movies since, including the X-Men series.
X-Men 3 this summer.
I think in terms of politics, you have to be a little bit older to run for office. So
But young girls grow up to be young women, and that's where they make their most history, I think.
Hope, who's your favorite young woman? Who inspires you?
My mom.
Great answer. Aww.
That's a really good answer, Hope. I think is ice cream around today. As soon as your mom hears that on the radio. Thanks very much for your call, Hope. Here's an email. This from Gene in San Diego. Could you explain why the cotton gin is so named? Did Eli Whitney have a problem?
Indeed, he did. Yes. Eli, two-fifths a day, Whitney.
That was an old sea shanty. Eli Whitney had a problem.
Get your cotton picking hands off my cotton picking machine.
Yeah, before bluegrass even started, there was that song.
My cotton picking gin.
I think he wrote it. They wrote that joke for us. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Let's go to Diane. Diane calling us from Pendleton in Oregon.
Hi.
Hi.
Say, how does food figure into history?
You know, without it, we found generally people will starve to death.
Right. I think so, without food, yeah. We would be history.
I've got some pancakes in my pocket right now.
Yeah. Is that what those are?
Oh, I wondered
that
what
came
that
out
was.
Wrong. But
they say that vegetarian, in Native American terms, means bad hunter.
Thanks very much for the call, Diane. Before we let you guys go, I understand that really one of the things your show addresses so many of the concerns and hopes of American people all through the ages, the desire for a free place to live, a desire for a place to express yourself freely, and a desire for a national anthem we can actually sing.
Well, exactly right. I mean, the Star-Spangled Banner is a great song in its day, but it's completely out of touch with modern sensibilities. I mean, for one thing, it's in English, but also it's militaristic and patriarchal. And musically, it goes from a low B minus all the way up to an H above high C. It's still Francis Scott Key expects fat guys at ball games to sing a song written in the key of G. We need a new national anthem.
I think it should be God Bless America or possibly Born in the USA.
Yeah, those are good.
Those are good. Or Freebird.
No.
Wait, stop.
Freebird was written by a Canadian, so I don't think that's appropriate for an American
It's written by Lynyrd Skynyrd. They're from Florida.
Wait, what? What am I?
Oh, you're thinking of Snowbird by Anne Marie.
Oh, wait, how's that? Oh, okay. You know what? Never mind. I've written, because we need our own national anthem, I've written my own modest example. Could I get a G? Thank you. Now, this is a song which some of your listeners may recognize.
Oh, beautiful for spacious skies and non-exploited waves of botanical companions, for mounted majesties of color and free-roaming non-human beings beside the differently harvested plain. Oh, non-Eurocentric bioregion, non-theologically specific supreme being, if she exists, shed ambigenic grace on thee. And made you more of a non-speciesistic, multicultural eco-warrior. From chronologically gifted anthropomorphized river to cosmetically enhanced the sea.
Play ball.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. For every special election edition of the show, we put together new references, and we also put together special audio plugs, like the one we did for Cranston, Rhode Island, which you'll hear in a minute. And shh, don't tell anyone about these, or every town will be wanting one. Send us your questions about American history via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on many of our website pages, and you can post reviews on iTunes. You can interact with other fans at our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, ReducedShakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, eminent hysterian Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Lynn Glenner. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Mayor Cory Booker, and it wouldn't surprise me if we're making jokes about him in a future presidential election. And thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 302 906ths of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light watch?
Hi, I'm Reed Martin.
I'm Austin Titchener.
And we are the Reduced Shakespeare Company. We are super excited to be bringing our special election edition of The Complete History of America Abridged to the Park Theater in Cranston, Rhode Island, because we believe that brevity is the soul of wit.
Less is more.
Small is beautiful. So where better for us to perform than in Rhode Island, the smallest state, founded by Roger Waters, who later went on to found Pink Floyd.
That's Roger Williams.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is. Rhode Island, or at least the Providence Colony, was founded by Roger Williams, obviously centuries before he wrote King of the Road. That's why we are so excited to finally make our Rhode Island debut in Providence.
Cranston,
at the newly renovated Park Theater. You've seen us on PBS, you've heard us on NPR, you've seen our pictures on the wall of your post office, but now we're coming to Rhode Island. Yes, Rhode Island, proud member of Team New England, where the capital city is Delaware, and until now is mostly known as that bit between Connecticut and Boston when you're taking the Acela from New York. Rhode Island is also the home of the Big Blue Bug in Providence, and Newport was the site of the very first circus in the U.S. in 1774, which is why we three clowns of the Reduced Shakespeare Company are coming to Cranston. And we'll even be performing at the Park Theater there on a Friday night, so any rabid local football fans can come see us without missing the next day's game between arch rivals Rhode Island School of Design and the Boston Conservatory of Music. In the special election edition of The Complete History of America Abridged, we'll take you on a whirlwind roller coaster ride through the glorious quagmire of American history, from the dawn of time until this very moment.
That's right. There's even an appearance by the two presidential candidates, and rumor has it that Mitt Romney will be debating an empty chair. So don't miss the Reduced Shakespeare Company at the Park Theater on October 12th in Cranston, Rhodesia.
Rhode Island.
Whatever. Rhode Island will love us. And we promise not to ask the state to lend us $75 million to make a new video game.
I forgot who did create George Washington's wooden teeth.
Oh, who carved George Washington's wooden teeth?
That's easy. George Washington Carver.
Yeah, everybody knows that.
Yes. Hi-oh.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less.